Welcome to Freedom Decoded. This is our look behind the scenes. My name is Demir Bentley. This is my wife, Carrie Bentley. Together we run the Life Hack Method. You can learn more at lifehackmethod.com. But this podcast is a look behind the scenes. We open up the curtain and show you our own lifestyle design as it's unfolding, which is what we're all about. We're all about lifestyle design and people creating a life that really works for them, which is perfect for the topic today, which is a massive shift in our lifestyle. A lot of people up to this point have known us as the expat couple.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. We lived in Medellin for the last 7 years down here in Colombia in South America. And heck, I mean, we haven't lived in the US in a decade.
Yeah. I mean, we've been, gosh, what other countries we've lived in? I mean, even for, let's say, for more than a month. Mm-hmm. Spain, India.
Bali.
Croatia.
Thailand.
Yeah. Asia, all over Asia.
France.
So Nicaragua, which let's not remember that one. That was a scarring experience. So yes, we have used geo-arbitrage. And for those of you who don't know what geo-arbitrage means, it just means arbitraging the difference between making money in dollars and spending it in pesos or whatever currency you might be. But there's also a lifestyle arbitrage where there's some places where, you know, if you go to Paris, the cost of living might be higher, but there's just something about the quality of the food there. So there's an arbitrage there too. So I use the global sense of arbitrage and we have loved it and I recommend it. And I all the time, you know, look at people and say, you know, is there some way that you can employ geo-arbitrage in your lifestyle design strategy? Because it's something that's available to us that really wasn't available to our parents.
Yeah. And I think for me personally, I wouldn't take back a moment of it because actually being able to live abroad means that we were somehow able to at least partially escape that almost perfectly opaque, thick bubble that you live in when you're born and raised in the US.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy the levels and like the layers that we've been able to unpack about our US upbringing and just the appreciation we've gotten for other cultures and ways of living.
And it works the other way too. Like I'm more excited about moving back to the States and being an American than I ever have been before. So it's not just like, I think people can think about it in a very two-dimensional way. Like, oh, you move abroad and you just realize Americans suck. It's like, no, actually, like I see the whole spectrum now. I see how, you know, let's just be clear. There is something that sucks about America and it's the healthcare. The healthcare sucks. Terribly. It's so expensive.
And the guns, and like, of course. The healthcare and the guns are the two things I would, the two top things.
Rather live without, right? But, you know, even without making any like sort of like broad, like this isn't a broad swipe at anybody. It's just straight up the truth that like we don't think for a second in Colombia about gun violence, which is funny because so many people who hear that we live in Colombia, the first thing they say is like, oh
what about
God,
the violence?
There must be so much violence all around. And it's like, I can tell you that walking around in our local mall, I feel like infinitely safer than I do visiting my parents in Sacramento. So healthcare, medical care, you really get this broad sense of like, I feel like it's like a rebirth of like the excitement of like, I don't know, this is probably going pretty far. But when I was a kid and I read about the early days of international travel, I'm talking about like 1700s, 1800s, when people were really starting to see the world and just realizing how different things were in different places. I feel like this is happening again, where you really get a chance to eat from the buffet of like all different places. And I don't care what your tastes are, there's going to be a place in the world that's going to do it a little bit different, where you'll just say to yourself, they do it right. Like Japan, you'll go to Japan and you'll eat the food and be like, I don't know what it is, but they just do it right here. And there's just something beautiful about that. And yet, having said all of that, our time as expats is coming to an end.
Right. Yes, we think so, at least. We're going to be moving back to the US probably in the middle of the year, like June timing thereabouts. And we always sort of suspected, heck, like we're from the US. We were born there. Like we have US values, which
family
we love.
And
we have, family and friends. And so we always suspected that, particularly as our kids started getting to school age, that we would want to move back either to the US or maybe even to Europe in order to raise them in a culture that's more similar to what we were raised in.
Absolutely.
And the problem was, we, first of all, don't have a clear path to residency in Europe. Because I feel like if we did, like if Europe had been on the table, I feel like we probably would have moved to Europe. I feel like that would
Let's call that your take.
I mean, you can never prove the counterfactual, so whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't have a clear path to residency or an easy path in Europe. And for a long time, we just were like, we'd like to go back to the US, but we don't know where we would go.
Yeah.
Like, we were having trouble finding a spot that we actually thought would be an upgrade for us versus what we have here in Colombia, which is like so freaking amazing.
It is amazing, but we lack community here.
Exactly.
And that was the big thing we started discovering is that, and I think the biggest thing that's different for me now versus 7 years ago when we moved here is that 7 years ago, I was convinced that if you gave me more money and I had a certain amount of support and lifestyle, that I would be happy and that nothing could ever take me away. And we got all of it. We had the cook, which we don't have anymore. That's a long story, but like, and not even a bad story, just like we just didn't want to have a cook. You know, we have the dog walker and we have the nannies and we have like everything a human being could conceivably want, every creature comfort, and yet we're still moving. Why? Beautiful weather,
right?
Like insane weather.
And amazing people that are super friendly all around us.
We feel safe. There's no,
right.
No downsides. And we're moving because of that sense of community. So I think the big thing that's different for me now than before is I didn't realize how important ultimately community was.
Can you explain, what do you mean by community?
And I was just about to say, that's like a big umbrella that's like, does Carrie have friends and people that she can hang out with that she relates to? Do the kids have like friends? And are those friends the kind of friends that we'd want them growing up around? Do I have friends? And so community I put as like all of the social support needs that a family would want as they start to get older. And you start to realize it's hard to hit all of the sides of that Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
I do see people moving to communities or places where the kids get everything they need, but then you realize that the parents are starting to get a little bit anemic when it comes to like, they don't have the friendships, the support that they need. And that's important too.
Yeah.
Right? It's important that we all get what we need. And so we started this burgeoning sense that we wanted to find a kibbutz or a, you know, commune or some kind of intentional community.
Right.
But there's a problem with that, which is like the people that tend to be attracted to doing that kind of stuff tend to be pulled together by like a religion or like a strongly held belief about society or the world or, you know, a cult, like, you know, central figure, you know, whatever, you know. And so we
obviously we're not going to move to a cult.
Yes, we were not going to move to a cult. And so we looked at a lot of places and for one reason or another, they just weren't quite there. So we checked out some places and researched some places in Central America, like in Costa Rica, just a little bit to what I call packed earth, you know, where it's like all the, you know, places don't have like real floors. It's like everybody walking around on like bare dirt.
Not everywhere has hot water, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like too off-grid.
It's too off-grid for me.
It's really off-gritty. There was one that we didn't go see, but that I was researching that I was like, this place looks great. And then it was very much like, you know, doomsday prepper, I realized in the end. It was like very much about a doomsday prepper sort of vibe. So, you know, we were looking for, I know it sounds crazy, but we were looking for people just like us who were coming together just because of that sense of community. Mm-hmm. and wanting to. And we finally found a place back in the United States that we really wanted to move to. And it's a place that feels like, it almost feels like Pleasantville in the sense that it's like, it's very Americana. It's yep. very, you know, walk down the street, people are sitting on their front porch. They'll stop you, invite you onto the porch to have a glass of wine, which then becomes a bottle of wine. And all of a sudden now you've spent half the day hanging out with people.
And you might say like, well, why Atlanta and that area? It's like, well, but we have family there.
Yeah.
And so that was the initial draw. That's why we made the trip initially, was just to see our family, in particular Demir's brother, who lives there now. And so then we started looking at the surrounding neighborhoods and we ended up finding something that honestly rivals Demir's friendliness, which if any of you know Demir, you know how like super uber friendly he is. And then to find people that are like more friendly than him was definitely off-putting, I think, even to you.
It was, I mean, I was like, what's the catch?
Right. We're like, is this actually a cult or what's going on here?
What's going on? Yeah, I was waiting for like the masks, you know, the ceremony with the mask. Yeah, no, I'll do the short version. But in the 1 month that we stayed there to try it on for size, we made more friends there in that 1 month than we had made here over 7 years. And right. I think that just explains it all.
Right. That explains it all. And I want to provide some more context because obviously Colombians are fantastic and very warm and friendly. Just the problem is, like, they already have their family here.
Yeah.
They already have their friends here that they grew up with. And unless you are actually Colombian, you are not going to fit in with their community.
Or marrying in.
Maybe. You can marry in. So a lot of our friends who are expats have married a Colombian, and that is the best ride.
Yeah.
That, you know,
that's
you get
that. That's the pass.
That's the pass. You get to go to all their family events. You get to just get plugged in. But what we found was as expats that didn't have any ties to Colombia is like you just get excluded from everything, right? You don't
and
get
not
invited.
Intentionally, no, but yes.
But it's like holidays are for family here.
Yeah.
They would not even imagine inviting a friend. It is just what it is, you know?
Which sucks because, like, actually, they really know how to party down here. Yes. They really know how to hang out, like, every weekend. Like, people's social calendar down here is filled to the brim.
Right.
It's just that the way that society is arranged here, you tend to keep it to your close, trusted circle. And it's people that you've known either practically since you were born or maybe I think people's social circle tends to close right around when they finish college. So the kind of people they might invite to a finca on the weekend might be limited to immediate family, cousins, and maybe like some close friends that you went to college with, but not that gringo that you met at the cafe.
Yeah. And obviously we go to parties, we go to events, but it tends to be very surface level.
Yeah.
We tend to have a lot of chit chat conversations. Oh, who are you? What do you do? What do you do? But then we don't end up becoming like actual friends who hang out.
Which is bad for us.
Right.
But I think we could potentially tolerate it. Where I think we can't tolerate it is it affects the kids.
Right.
And so what we've started to see is that we thought when the kids got in school that, and this is what people told us, is, oh, your kids will get into school, they'll make friends with other friends, and you'll become friends with their parents and just see.
We were like, great. Sounds perfect.
Bring it on. Can't wait. And it's not happening. And I'm pretty clear. It's pretty clear to us that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, I think there's a little bit of like when your higher power just serves you up a platter of exactly what you've been asking for.
Yeah.
You know, just eat it. Just sit down and eat it. You know, Carrie and I looked at each other and we kept getting all these green lights of like, this is the place. This is the community. We made these great friends. Gigi was showing a side of herself that we haven't seen from her like ever. And it just felt like, are we going to overthink this? Or are we going to take a chance here?
Well, we love taking chances, especially like calculated chances. So yeah, I mean, within a month, we had bought a spec house that hadn't been built yet. And so since then, that time, that house has been in the process of being built.
Yep.
And it's going to be done soon. So when it's done,
we're moving.
We're moving. But let me just put it this way. We're not selling our apartments here in Medellin because
nothing's off the table.
Yeah. I don't want to close any doors. I don't like closing doors.
Yeah.
Not permanently. So we're going to keep our apartments here just in case for some reason we hate it.
Yeah. Or we want to move back or this is better for us.
Right.
So let me close out with this thought. You know, one of the things that we do every year is a, you know, 12 personal commandments. And we give ourselves this sort of inspirational commandments that help keep us living the life that we really want to live, almost like personal mottos, if you will. So one of those is always live the bigger life. And we adapted that from Gretchen Rubin. And I think there's something at play here around that. Meaning, you know, could we have played it safer? Could we have stayed here a little bit longer? Could we have tried harder to make friends? Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes on all fronts. But there's just something about us that when we looked at this opportunity, it was a risk we could take. And it felt like it very much led to living the bigger life. So here we are, you know, moving ourselves yet again.
Moving to rural Georgia.
Yeah, I know. What's more exciting than Medellin, Colombia? Rural Georgia.
Apparently, that's what we've decided.
I love it. But nothing is off the table. Okay, final thoughts or should we wrap there?
Gosh, we can wrap it there. Feel free to drop a comment if you've got any additional questions for us. And wish us luck on this coming year with this big move coming up.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you in the next podcast.